glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 22, verses 31 through 33. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Those are the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus about life after death. And that'll be part of our program today as we talk about, have you not read these many words throughout the book of Matthew that Jesus said? Have you not read? But I like this portion, especially in light of what's happening tonight, because it talks about the resurrection from the dead. And a dear singing man is in the presence of the Lord now. His name was Dennis England. And here's a little message that I sent to the singing man. So I wanted you to be alerted, because tonight there's a visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. And then tomorrow they'll have a visitation from 10 to 11 with the homegoing service at 11. And it's going to happen at Reiner Wyckoff Chapel, 1900 South Philo Road in Urbana. But I wrote to the singing man of GNN. Hey, man. It's with a heavy heart, yet with joy, knowing that Dennis England finished well and is now in the presence of the Lord, that I message you. His son, Dennis England II, and I gave his address and phone number, called to let us know that Dennis went to be with the Lord late Friday night, so this past Friday night. He made note that his dad made a significant rally and had a sweet time of worship while playing Singing Men CDs on Thursday. He requested that the song, number 6 on the CD, Near to the Heart of God, be played at his funeral. The singing men had sang that on that CD. The obituary will mention that memorial gifts can be made out to Great News Radio and the singing men. And then I go on to say, I spoke to son Dennis a little while ago, and he recounted that his dad's hearing and health was fading, but that on that Friday, he was able to communicate he wanted the Singing Men CD to be playing continuously, and it was very, very loud so he could hear it. In fact, he motioned many times with hand gestures and such, as if he was directing to the music. A great delight was on his face, and he blessed family around him with his passion and enthusiasm for the Singing Men. In his remaining hours, I wrote, I teared up as I typed this, which he was a great man. All of you who remember Dennis knew him as a kind, compassionate, and thoughtful man of God. He loved singing the Lord's praises and was accomplished on the piano. As his health declined and a move out of the immediate area prevented him from joining us, he still stopped in occasionally to say hi and see how we were doing. Dennis had a gentle spirit about him. He finished well, worshiping the Lord he loved and served. His son Dennis said that it was fitting to not have money spent on flowers. I went on to say that he wanted memorial gifts made out to the singing men of GNN. And then I thanked the guys for their witness of faithfully singing and declaring the wonders of God. And then the funeral service, as mentioned, it's going to be at Reiner Wyckoff Chapel, 1900 South Philo Road, Urbana, tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. is visitation, with additional visitation tomorrow from 10 to 11 with the service at 11. So I invite any of you that knew or want to support the England family to show Dennis and the family support. Dennis II. So we appreciate Dennis England, the legacy that he's left, and finishing well. And wow, that he was listening to a Singing Men CD in his last moments is pretty powerful.
Awesome. So the question for today is, have you not read? And so when I say that to you, when I say, have you not read, what does that make you think?
Not been paying attention.
Have you not been paying attention? Okay, anybody else?
You know better.
You know better, okay.
Why don't you know this?
Okay, why don't you know this? Okay, excellent. So the reason that I ask that question, number one, is because Jesus 10 times in the Gospels thinks it's important to ask this question. And not only is it important that he asks this question, but if we survey the scriptures in which Jesus asks this question, who is he asking it to?
He was asking it to the Pharisees.
Sure, he was asking it to the religious leaders. Would the religious leaders have read?
They should have read.
In fact, I'm going to argue that they actually did read. Mm-hmm. But there is a difference between simply reading something and really reading something. There's a difference between reading the text to know what's in the text and reading the text to know and love the author of the text.
And Jason, wouldn't they have not only read it, but most likely have memorized it? I mean, really have known the words.
Sure, yep, the text of the Old Testament. So when I say, have you not read, I actually want to talk about this in two different pieces. I want to talk about this in Gail, always sharp as a tack. Gail said, have you not heard? Because when we talk about have you not read, first we have to talk about it publicly, and then I want to talk about it personally. Because in the world of Jesus, and in the world prior to Jesus coming into the world, the public reading of Scripture, it was familiar, it was common, it happened all the time. The Gideons had not yet come on scene, so there weren't Bibles everywhere. There were scrolls, and not everybody had a scroll. And so people would gather to hear the public reading of Scripture, to hear the public reading of God's Word. And so there was this, the idea of have you not read, well, it also would come in that day with have you not heard, because you would have heard it being said. In fact, Deuteronomy 6:4, which is a foundational Jewish text, it was the basis for the prayers that they have three times a day. It's called the Shema. Everybody say Shema.
Shema.
Shema, yes. And Shema is, does anybody know what it says? Does anybody know what Deuteronomy 6:4 is? Anybody know? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So right away in the Old Testament is what? Hearing.
Whose phone? Alaric, is that your phone?
I don't think so.
Alaric, it's your phone.
I turned mine off.
Have you not silenced your phone?
We all heard it.
There we go.
Amen.
And so right there in this foundational text that they would read, and it was the basis of their prayers three times a day, was this idea of hearing in order to what? Love the Lord your God more and more and more. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. What does it mean he's one? He's number one. He's one with everything. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Acts chapter 13 and 27 said that they read every Sabbath, reading every day at worship, meaning that they gathered together and they read Scripture together and they read it aloud. By the way, Hebrews chapter 2 and 1 says, pay careful attention to what you have heard so that you don't drift away.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the importance of hearing it, because many people were illiterate during those times, so the hearing of it would have been very important or crucial for them understanding. And that's why storytelling was so important. That's why Jesus always gave those great word pictures.
Yeah. You know, we like to think about, and maybe this is a digression from the topic, but we like to think about great orators, particularly like pastors or preachers, for the sermons that they give, things that they say outside of necessarily Scripture, the reading of Scripture. Back in those days, the people who read the Scriptures would be great orators because they wanted to hold people's attention as they read God's Word. They weren't saying other words. They were largely just saying God's Word. But they were reading it with passion and with emotion and with, you know, they had this great like rise and fall in their voice in that because they wanted to hold people's attention. And then, by the way, it says in Revelation chapter 1 and 3, and I think this is a verse that we should underline in our Bibles. It says, blessed is the one who reads these words aloud and those who hear it. So there's a blessing that comes when we not only read the word, but when we read it aloud and others hear it. By the way, I love this. If I read something aloud, who's the first person who's listening to it?
Myself.
You.
I am.
Yes.
That's why Paul mentions preaching the gospel to himself, because when he's talking, who's his first audience? Who needs the word of God the most when you read the word of God aloud?
We all need
the person reading it?
Yeah, the person reading it. Yeah.
So he's double blessed.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing now, hearing the word of God.
Yeah.
Romans 10 and 17.
And so I love when we take scripture and we look at scripture in context. So Revelation 1:3, blessed is those who read these words aloud and those who hear it. Then what does God say continually to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3? He who has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says. So God is saying, listen, you need to listen. And I love when he says, he who has ears, because we have two, so we have no way, we're not allowed to get out of jail on this one. You can't be like, well, I didn't hear that. You have two, one on either side of your head. You can't be like, well, I was standing over here, I didn't hear it. You have an ear on that side. And so I love how God said, it's almost kind of humor, in my opinion, that God interjects in there. But I think we've lost reading scripture aloud. I mean, if we go to church, all you guys go to church, right?
Yes.
Okay, do they read scripture aloud at church?
Yes. Hopefully you're going to that church, yeah.
Okay, what's longer, the sermon or the scripture being read aloud?
The sermon.
Yeah.
I didn't read in the Bible anywhere where it says, blessed is the one who hears the sermon. Now listen, this is bad for job security because I give sermons. But it reminds me when I read this that my sermon needs to be primarily scripture.
Amen.
You know, I had a person came up to me many, many years ago because I always have these little sermon study sheets. And they said, look at all the scripture that's on here. Can you just whittle that? Maybe one or two scriptures and that's it? I said, no, because the best witness to scripture, the best way to interpret scripture is with scripture. God's word interprets God's word. And so the greatest blessing comes, the Bible says, when we read this aloud. Why? Because people get to hear it. Our neighbors get to hear it. Our family gets to hear it. And by the way, the word doesn't return void, does it?
No.
What does God say about the word of God?
It accomplished that it sets out to do.
That's right. By the way,
living and active.
It says that it always accomplishes it. Not sometimes, not maybe, always accomplishes. Never returns void. And so I love this. By the way, we have examples all throughout Scripture of Scripture being read aloud. In the Exodus chapter 24 and 7, it says he took the book of the covenant and read it to all who were hearing and who were listening. It says in Deuteronomy 31, assemble the people. Listen to this. Assemble the people, men, women, little ones, and sojourners within your town so that they may hear and learn about the Lord. So that there's nobody who's off limits, is it?
No.
Men, women, kids, people who are just passing through, get them all together so they can hear the word of the Lord. Again, it doesn't say the sermon. It says the word of the Lord. Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah commands Ezra to bring out the book and to read it to the people. Does anybody know what happens in Nehemiah when Ezra begins to read the book of the Lord?
They fall prostrate. Or?
Yeah, it says that the people begin to weep. They're deeply moved. Listen, I sometimes can put together a few good words, but I don't know if I've ever seen people do that when I give a sermon. But the word of the Lord does that. Why? Because it's living and active. Because God's Spirit authored those words. And because God's Spirit wants to use those words. You know, I pray over my kids sometimes. And what I like to do when I pray over them is I like to, when I remember, because I'm not perfect at this, but I like to try and pray scripture.
Right. Declare the word.
Yeah. Because God's word is better than my words.
Amen.
That's right.
What God has to say is better than what anybody else has to say. And so why do we give so little time to reading aloud what God says? You know, I think one of the greatest struggles we have as the followers of Jesus is becoming his editors rather than his messengers. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes we'll even do it like this. We'll just say like, well, let me say this so you can understand it a little easier. Mm-hmm. Maybe hard words are what people need. Maybe sometimes we need to read them something that they have to go away and chew on for a little bit because they need the nourishment. Listen, sometimes you have to chew your food.
Yeah.
And in the process of chewing your food, it aids in the digestion of it. And so I think one of our great problems is we want to offer people pre-digested food. And pre-digested food makes for soft people. And so we need to read the word aloud. And I don't know what that looks like exactly outside a church, but I think that it needs to start to happen. And one of the ways I think that it happens is then personally we need to read the Word. I got together with this guy like a few years ago, and he goes to me, goes, he asked me a question, and I quoted some scripture back to him. I don't always do that. I'm not always nailing it, but sometimes, every once in a while. And he goes, you're the Bible guy. I'm like, shouldn't we all?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we all?
Yeah.
You know, I think affirmations, when you're decreeing the Word in the mornings when you rise, it's good to have those words to speak over your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to believe that Word, the Word of God that you speak over yourself.
Yeah.
You become what you say.
Yeah.
You know, He's given us that power.
Well, Psalm 119 says what? I've hidden your Word in my heart, that I wouldn't sin against you. So this is the personal now, the personal have you not read. We need to read God's Word. Why? Not simply so we can know it, but so that we can put it down here in our hearts, so that when we come up against things and we come into things, that God's Word will guide us instead of our own words.
Well, and I think this is so relevant today because we have some pretty famous and, dare I say, pretty wealthy ministers out there that preach sometimes that I hear them and I think that's not actually biblical. They take things out of context, and I think human beings generally tend to do that. So it's super important to try to practice being Bible-y, as you said. Try to be as Bible-y as possible so you can, what you're saying, you can know the actual words, understand the context, understand what those words mean. And I know it's all living and breathing and that it'll absorb, but it's important to understand it the way that God intended it also.
I like that, Melissa, what you were just saying, because, you know, we should be forensic examiners of God's Word.
Mm.
You know, we should look deep. We should search when He gives us a word. Start to look up the meaning, the Hebrew meaning behind the word. And He'll guide us. It's almost like breadcrumbs, you know? Things will start opening up. Your mind will start opening up. He'll be able to reveal mysteries to you concerning the Scripture after you've read the background text to see why was it said. What was going on during that time? Just like you shared about them doing the scrolls. During that time, they all gathered.
Yep.
You know? So that was powerful.
Yeah.
And I think we get ourselves into trouble when we give the person the power instead of the words, and God the power with the meaning behind those words.
So somebody said to me, this was fairly recently, they said, I'm looking for a church. What would be the criteria for the church that I go to? I said that they have Bibles in the pews. And they said, why? I said, because you need to be empowered to check His work. When I tell people to open up the Word, I'm not asking you to open up the Word so that you can follow along with the things that I say. I want you to open the Word so that you can check my work, to make sure that what I'm saying is true and right in the context that it is in the Bible. We have a saying at our church, context is king. Because context, when you look at Scripture in context, it always leads you to the King. It always delivers you to God. When people take Scripture out of context, it's because they're trying to make themselves the King.
Absolutely.
And so we have to be people who read God's Word. Now, this is interesting, right? Because Jesus, in all the 10 times in the Gospels where He says, have you not read? He's always saying it to the Pharisees. And listen, the Pharisees knew God's Word. They read it. They read God's Word ad nauseum. Here's the problem. They read God's Word simply to be able to know it. They didn't read God's Word to know and love God more. One of the prayers that I pray every time I open my Bible is, Lord, as I open this Word today, help me to know and love You more. Because if you love God with all your heart, soul, and might, you're not going to try to usurp His authority in that Scripture. You're going to say, He's the King. I'm going to do and say what He says, not what I say. And so I actually think, we like to read this when Jesus says, have you not read, as a great moment of condemnation. Jesus is trying to shame the Pharisees. I don't think that's true. You know what I think He's doing? I think He's inviting them to know and love God more. I think He's saying, listen, I think you read, but have you not really read? Have you not really read to find God in the Bible? To really know His heart and who He is? By the way, if they did that, then they would look upon the Son and know that He was God. There would be no mistake in that. So Jesus is not condemning them. He's not shaming them. He's inviting them to come closer to God, to actually live the thing that they want to live out, or at least the thing they're saying they're living out.
And Jason, isn't that true for God's Word for all of us today and how His Spirit works, prodding us all to know Him in a personal way?
I think so. I really do think so. And by the way, when Jesus is asked questions, he quotes scripture back to people. He quotes it to the devil. He quotes it to the Pharisees. He quotes it to others. When John the Baptist is asked why he came, he immediately quotes Isaiah 41:30. He quotes scripture back to him. Why? Because it's always an invitation to meet the king. It's always an invitation to come. Listen, I don't quote the Bible because I want everybody to know how much I know about the Bible. I quote the Bible because I believe that it's God's word, and I believe that it is everything that I need for faith and endurance and a life of following Jesus. But I also quote it because I want you to know it. I want you to be invited to read it too. We read that passage that says, be prepared to give an answer. We read that like it's apologetics, like it's argumentative. No. Be prepared to show people the answer. Be prepared to acknowledge that there is a greater answer than the one you could give, and that's Jesus. When you're prepared with God's word in your heart because you have read it, you're prepared to show people, to herald them towards the real answer.
That's really good.
And so we want to have you not read aloud, publicly, and have you not read personally for your own heart.
When the crowds heard this, these are the words of Jesus, they were astonished at his teaching. May you be more astonished at the love that he has for you, that God has made a way. God has demonstrated his love that, and while we're still sinners, God still desires to draw us to himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price on the cross for you and for me. And as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have that newness of life. We can walk in cadence with his Spirit's leading, and we can secure an eternal destiny with him where there's no more suffering or pain or heartache. Draw near to Jesus today, and he'll draw near to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, in a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.